taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Have you noticed how many people who are claiming my body, my choice today or claiming the right to tell you what should be that you should be injected with an experimental treatment just the other day? Now, you may have heard of the Nuremberg Code, the medical ethics code developed after World War II. And the fundamental point was a requirement that people have informed consent before a person be allowed to participate in an experimental treatment. It requires information, but it also requires the consent, which includes the ability to say no. So why is it that so many people who decide who gets to control their body seems to change based on whether or not they like the particular treatment or not? Well, hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel. Today, I have with me Dr. Stephanie Coxon. She's a mother of five and a medical freedom activist. She sits on the steering committee for the, and make sure I get this right, Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent and for Right-Minded Women. Dr. Coxon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So since most of my audience probably has not heard of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent, can you tell them a little bit about that and about the work that you do besides running around after five children?
Right. So Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent, which just shortened as PCIC, has been around since 2015. So if you recall, there was that measles outbreak at Disney and a huge push across the nation to really push vaccinations and not give people a choice whether they wanted their children to be vaccinated or not. And so at that point, this group came together to try to pay attention to legislation, like what is happening, and to make sure that our freedoms are protected. And so it's really a legislative watch group that goes in, talks to legislators, educates them, and ensures that you have all the information, or attempts to ensure that you have all the information that you need to know whether or not you want something, but then takes it one step further and also wants you to have the right to say no, to really any medical procedure that you're not comfortable with. And so that's what we have been doing for the last 7 years.
It's interesting because there's been an ongoing debate, I believe, with a group of Hasidic Jews in New York, just above New York City. They don't believe in childhood vaccinations, but of course, the school and the town and the county don't want to let them in the school if they don't get the vaccinations. Now, when I was a child, I received vaccinations. If memory serves, there was only about six or eight at the time. Now they're talking about, what, over 60, I think, for childhood vaccinations?
Yeah. Yeah, your own. I believe it's 69 right now that you are getting before the age of 18. So it's a whole different ballgame from when you and I were children to what is being received today. And you're absolutely right. New York is actually a great example of why we have to stay on top of this stuff, because New York used to have religious exemptions. And they're really tearing those apart and saying, we're going to get medical exemptions because you can depend on your doctor to make the right decision. And a lot of people will view this as an okay thing. But here's what happens. They then look at each doctor and say, okay, how many exemptions is this doctor giving? And if you give more than, say, let's say in California, I believe it's five exemptions, you then may end up before the licensing board and could lose your license. And so it really takes power out of the hands of doctors. It takes power out of the hands of parents who really have the choice on whether should have the choice and whether or not they want to vaccinate, not vaccinate their child. Because let's face it, there are aborted fetal cell lines that are used within these vaccines. And so it's very reasonable to do that religious exemption, not only for that, but for other reasons as well. I mean, you just may not be on board with allopathic medication, and that should be okay.
Yeah. For example, my wife is very sensitive to mercury. And, you know, there is traces of mercury in some of these vaccines. I have an issue with both the Moderna and Pfizer, quote unquote, COVID vaccines. because they don't meet the legal definition of COVID. The CDC actually had to redefine, I'm sorry, they don't meet the legal definition of vaccine. The CDC actually had to try and redefine vaccine to call them a vaccine. But I have a problem because, well, they're experimental and they are literally changing the genome. And all, you know, they kept saying, oh, no. And then we find out, I thought, well, you know, yeah, you know, so it violates a very fundamental concept in our country and in that concept of freedom. And that is you own your body. Yep. That is your property. And you cannot be deprived of control of that. And it's enshrined in the Fifth Amendment, which says that you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, a process designed to protect the rights of the individual. In the 14th Amendment, it prevents states from passing laws that deprive you of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Yet we don't think of these things that way. We go, but you have to take this. I have to infringe on your rights in order to protect somebody else.
Right.
And
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, my first thought is, I may have a moral obligation to do what is within my power and within my conscience to help others, but I don't have a legal obligation to violate my conscience in order to protect others.
You know, that's a really good point. But I'd even say morally, when does it become, you know, there's a fine line between us protecting someone else as well. I don't think that's a reasonable argument to say, because I got my vaccine, I'm protecting you. When we travel to foreign countries, you know, when I went to Guatemala, I got a yellow fever vaccine as a teenager. I didn't get it to protect other people. You know, it was because they weren't vaccinated. I was going into an unvaccinated country, and therefore I was protecting myself. So when did the definition change to where we are trying to protect other people with this? It doesn't really make sense. That argument's never been used in the history of vaccines.
Well, actually, it's been used because it's the very reason why the school district claims they want to vaccinate the Hasidic Jews is because we have to, you know, if you're not vaccinated, someone else might get sick.
Right. Well, they're starting to use that argument, but historically speaking, that wasn't really the purpose of a vaccine. It was really protect the individual, not other groups of people.
Yeah, yes. When you and I were kids, yes, you know, but now the whole, it hasn't just COVID. This predates COVID, but only by, you're right, only by a few years. Now there's something going on in Pennsylvania, a House bill, was it 2013?
Yeah.
That's trying to change this in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so they want to add Section 30 to our Declaration of Rights, and this is really to give all Pennsylvanians the right to medical freedom. And so it will give the individual the right to refuse any medical procedure, treatment, injection, vaccine, prophylactic, and intervention without question, without consequence. And so it really puts that power back into Pennsylvania's hands. And I don't know that everyone realizes how important this bill is. You know, I was just talking to an airman the other day, and he got COVID. He went to the hospital. He's been, first of all, fighting. He's been fighting the military on being able to stay unvaccinated and, of course, being punished. But to take it a step further, when he went to the hospital with COVID, he said, I do not want remdesivir, but it was forced upon him. And he did not have a choice. And so he got 5 days of remdesivir in the hospital. When is it, you know, where do we draw the line of our abilities to say yes or no? You know, it's interesting. We have a history, well, we not history, but we have medical kidnapping happening here in the U.S. And a lot of people don't realize that when a parent says, you know, no, I'm not comfortable with the treatment you're offering, I'd like to get a second opinion. There are hospitals who separate the parent from the child and prevent the parents from making parental decisions. And so this bill really is important for all families, because you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know the decisions that you're going to have to make. And you may end up being forced to do something if you don't support a bill like this.
You know, it's interesting because I interviewed a few weeks ago a father whose child was medically kidnapped, and the not just the pain, but the anger of of not being able to protect your child. And again, it comes to a disagreement. This idea that the doctor knows best, the experts know best, you're just a dumb hick, and you know, shut up, take your medicine, or we're going to punish you. It's this whole inverted idea that we work for the government rather than the government works for us.
Yeah.
And you know, whether it's, you know, you're saying, well, Pennsylvania wants to add this to their constitution. By the way, I love that for several reasons, right? Because the states created the federal government. Now, yes, there's a protection for your property, the property you have in your body, in the Constitution of the United States. There's also, by the way, I believe one in the Constitution of Pennsylvania. They're just expanding it. They're saying, hopefully they're saying, you have a power, you have a property in your body. We're going to specifically say, you get to say, my body, my choice when it comes to medical procedures. And that the interesting thing is, will the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, with those that the citizens hire to represent them, stand up if and when the federal government says, no, we know better? Because the federal government's already said, listen, if you want to get a federal contract or you're a subcontractor to a federal contract, you have to take this experimental treatment, in direct contradiction to the what hopefully will be the Constitution of Pennsylvania. What's your read on the governor and the others in the government of the Commonwealth? Will they stand up for this if it gets passed and ratified against federal encroachment?
Well, so, you know, you have a couple of situations here. One is, you know, the part of the big deal about this is whatever is not outlined in the federal constitution really falls back to the state, right? So this really does become a protection of Pennsylvanians against what the federal government can do. We currently have a horrific, which is really an understatement, governor who has just really clamped down, very oppressive. He's not going to sign anything. And so we have two options really coming up. So we have 57 co-sponsors, which is probably the most co-sponsors. I can't say this for certain, but maybe I think it's actually one of the most co-sponsors ever done for a bill before. It has to go through the House twice. And then either it needs to get signed in two sessions in a row. Let me clarify. So twice, but two sessions in a row. Then it can go before the governor. And the governor can sign it. But if he doesn't sign it, it's going to have to go before the people of Pennsylvania, which is difficult. But, you know, Pennsylvania is also one that stripped away the governor's powers during the 2021 election. I don't know if you recall that. I think we're the only state to be able to do that. And it's the exact same process. You go in and the people of Pennsylvania vote and say, do they want this or do they not want this? And Pennsylvania spoke out loud at the last election, said, no, we are not going to put up with this governor. And so here is another bill that may have to go before the people if we don't get the right governor into place. And right now it's going to be between Shapiro, Attorney General, who has done nothing for Pennsylvania, just kind of turned his head and turned a blind eye to a lot of things. And then he'll be going up against Doug Mastriano, who is a medical freedom advocate, phenomenal senator, and one of the ones that has really been outspoken trying to get the truth out to the people and just show people, you know, you are a free citizen, teaching them they have constitutional rights and trying to get them to stand up to the tyranny that is happening across the state.
You know, I think we forget that whether it's I just came, by the way, from a meeting with my county mayor. We forget that these people work for us. They're our employees. And here you're describing, in my viewpoint, a job review. And you're saying that the current governor has not done a good job. Here are the two candidates. What is their record for fulfilling their oath? Whoever wins is going to take an oath to support the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and of the United States. Have they fulfilled that oath or not? Now, no one's going to be perfect, but it sounds like you've got a pretty bright distinction between one that says, I'm going to defend people's rights, at least in this medical freedom arena, and another that says, yeah, whatever they say goes, and you know, that I think that's something that needs to be communicated to the people, the citizens of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So Senator Mastriano, who's the next gubernatorial candidate for the Republicans, has demonstrated over and over again himself as a constitutionalist. You know, he's definitely a he's a historian. He has a doctorate in history. I mean, he has all sorts of degrees. He's a pretty amazing, knowledgeable person, but he really tries to educate and stand with the Constitution. So my hope is that Pennsylvania will be able to get back to who we're supposed to be, despite what has happened. I mean, he's a Second Amendment guy. He is literally probably at the forefront of all the freedom rallies, bringing and highlighting stories of vaccine injured people, his office just takes in so many phone calls of stories of people desperate for help. So it's whether keeping your business open, trying to say no to you know, hospitals and everything else. He's been there, and he has been just a champion of the people, like very few legislators have been across the Commonwealth.
Great. Well, you know, Dr. Cox, I have to head out to a break. Can you stay around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think this has been great. And I think this is good information, especially for my listeners in the Commonwealth, but throughout the country. But before I go, I want to point everybody to it's informedconsentpa.org. That's informedconsentpa.org to find out more about the, and I want to get this right, Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent. Yep. Also, my listeners get 20% discount at HealthyCell.com. Now, I love their products. I use them. My family uses them. My wife loves their REN sleep. She's had a problem falling asleep and staying asleep for, well, pretty much as long as I've known her. And the REM sleep works wonderful when she can't sleep. It helps her fall asleep, stay asleep, and get a good night's rest to wake up rested and ready to go. As I said, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order, but you have to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, try any of their products, put your cart together, make sure you use that code OUTLOUD, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Surely if you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Thank you for joining us here at the Constitution Study. My name is Paul Engel. I have Dr. Stephanie Coxon with me. We are talking about body autonomy. The right to control your own body, what goes into it, what it gets used for. And Dr. Coxon, you're in Pennsylvania. You're They're working on an amendment to your state constitution that would reinforce the right that that the people of Pennsylvania have to determine whether or not to get a medical procedure or a treatment or anything. Well, I was going to say, it's a, I guess I kind of left it hanging, but it's a, to me, it's something important. You know, as I said in the opening, we have people screaming, my body, my choice for the right to kill another body. But this idea that, no, it's my body, I own it. And if it's a minor, well, then their rights are protected by their parents, and the parents have a right to make these decisions. And we're seeing this not simply being eroded, but being torn down as if we are just cogs in the state machine.
Yeah. And they're chipping away at it. So right now, even after the age of 14, they can take, you know, if there's a mental health assessment, the child can then become the decision maker of a medicine. So they've been chipping away at this stuff for a while. And so people have to get involved and bring back parental rights on every single level. You know, what's truly different about this is if I put on a shirt to go to and, you know, to go to work, right? I get home, I take that shirt off. It's not impacting me at all, right? It's just a momentary, momentary time that I'm wearing something to represent something. When someone's telling you, you have to get a vaccination, you have to get a prophylactic medication, you have to get a treatment, there's no going back once you've had those, right? And let's face it, there are a lot of side effects that come from almost all medications. We've all seen the commercials, right? You know, you take a medication for fibromyalgia and the side effect is fibromyalgia. And so there's gotta be some sort of decision that people are able to make and say no. This medication, if you die because you accept this injection, if you have a stroke because you accept this injection, who's responsible to help you make it through life? Who's going to take care of your family? It's got to be your decision. And you can certainly get that vaccination, but why force it upon someone else and have them face the consequences when the consequences are unknown? I mean, with this particular shot, there's more adverse reactions with this one shot than the 30 years of combined vaccinations. And so we have to start protecting our individual sovereignty, because this isn't something that we can take off at the end of the evening. This is something we carry with us and we can't escape once we've had it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about vaccinations, but what I find most interesting is, see, the way my mind works, I focus less on what people say and more on what people do. So if someone tells me that, if I need to take the vaccination to protect my neighbor, then you don't believe the vaccinations work. Because if the vaccinations work, you vaccinate the neighbor, they should not care. If you're worried about whether or not someone else is vaccinated, then you are tacitly admitting that the vaccines don't work. And there's now plenty of evidence to say that was a good point of view because they don't really work. Right. But again, it should be, it needs to be our choice. This is, we don't get rights. In other words, the right to protect, to medical decision-making will not be established in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania because they passed this amendment that adds, was a Section 30 to the Declaration of Rights. Those rights exist. What Pennsylvania is looking at doing is adding a layer of protection to those rights. But yeah, ultimately, the protection of our rights is our responsibility. We must be ready. We must be aware and prepared so that we can defend our own rights. I always use a quote from John Jay when he said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach the rising generation to be free. By knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. Yeah. You know, so I'm very hopeful for what's going on in Pennsylvania. I'll have to go to I'm assuming I can follow what's been going on at the informedconsentpa.org website.
Yeah, we put all the legislation that we are the majority of legislation that we are tracking up on the website, and we invite people to take a look at it, see what it is, see what we're for, see what we're against. People can email us at informedconsent2015@gmail.com if they would like to, you know, get involved, because this takes an army of people. This isn't just a couple individuals. We have to reach across the state. We have, you know, I think 200, a little over 200 representatives, and we have 50 senators that we have to contact, have communication with. We have to educate. You know, we have to sit with them sometimes, email them, call them, in order to let them know that we are their constituents and we expect them to serve us, and to represent us, and defend the Constitution, and that we have rights and we can walk free, and that the power is not theirs to control our bodies, or our lives, really. And so it's really important to deliver the message. And let me say, there's some really good legislators in Pennsylvania. I mean, we are very blessed with some amazing medical freedom advocates within our Senate and with our legislator. And if you happen to be in one of their districts, say thank you. Call them and just say, hey, I really appreciate what you're doing, because they need to hear that too. You know, one of the state reps, she actually has this lady who puts profanities all over the car, parks it in front of her office, and just is so, you know, profane with what she does towards the representative. These representatives who are standing up for our freedoms need to know that, you know, we appreciate what they're doing, because sometimes it is a thankless job. And so it's so important on both ends. So fight for what your rights are. Let them know you expect them to stand for your rights. And on the other side, thank them, because they need to hear thank yous, especially those who are sometimes standing alone. And it takes a spine, you know, it really does. You've got some legislators who kind of squeak by because no one's really paying attention. And you've got some that are standing up on the Capitol steps, screaming from the rooftops, you know, you have rights, declare your rights. And so we just got to pay attention at this point. We can't let it go. We've got to vote the way, we've got to stay on top of it and really vote the way we feel. You know, I'm at the point, I'm not okay holding my nose and just voting for the next Republican because I was told to by the GOP leadership, right? Get out there and get involved. Prior to 2 years ago, I was very content in life, you know, just kind of thinking that my government was my friend, right? I mean, not to that extent, but I wasn't overly concerned. I just tried to track and make sure they weren't taking away my parental rights, minorly. And then when I realized what was happening and how important local elections are, you know, it's time to get involved. Join your state committees, your local committees, or county committees. You know, go watch the polls, be a poll watcher, be a judge of elections. We've got to take this back over if we want to end what is happening in America.
You know, I'm hoping that my audience that is not in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has been listening to what's been going on, because this is an example of states standing up. You know, I talk a lot about federalism and the fact that the states created the federal government. They are not the vassals of the federal government. And here, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has an opportunity to stand up and say, Biden, Washington, D.C., no, we did not authorize this. We are protecting this within the Commonwealth. This is something that should be replicated in all 50 states.
Yes, every state should have a group that's watching this stuff, that is making phone calls. Because if you're not, you're going to end up like New York or California, where they have literally lost almost all of their rights. So you don't just vote the way your parents vote. Do your own research. Get to know your candidates. See what their voting record is. Don't take them at face value. You know, actions speak far louder than words. And this is the time to look at their actions. You can look up how people vote on these bills. Usually every state has some way to track it. And so you can look up and see what their voting record is. And people need to take responsibility and do that. It's our responsibility as people to hold our legislators accountable. We can't just be complacent. We have to stay on top of this stuff. And I think now more than ever, it's apparent on why.
Absolutely. But I also like this idea. And this was House Bill 2013, correct? That's the actual.
Yes, that's the House bill. Yep.
So, yeah, from around the country, take a look at this, at the language in House Bill 2013, and ask yourself, would you receive the same protections in your state? And if not, What can you do to change that? You know, everybody yells and screams when Biden issues a vaccine mandate. Well, now's the opportunity to come back. And instead of waiting for the federal government to protect you from that, get the states to jump in and say, no, we're going to put that protection in our Constitution because it gives us, one, it helps protect the right to decide for yourself what to do with your own body. But it also gives us a legal basis to help support the stand that, no, we did not authorize the federal government to get involved in medical decisions. The Constitution does not delegate that power to the United States. Therefore, it's a power that remains with the states. The states need to stand up and say, we are going to reclaim this power and we're going to use it to protect our citizens. So, you know, regardless of what state you live in, take a look at House Bill 2013 out of Pennsylvania. If I can find a link, I'll put it in the show page when it publishes. But let's reclaim this idea that it is my body, it is my choice, and the only time that gets superseded is if I'm using my body to intentionally harm someone else. And yeah. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. And let's return the idea of freedom and liberty and body autonomy to the United States. We've got a few more minutes. Is there anything else that PCIC is working on or really paying attention to besides this particular proposed constitutional amendment?
Oh, yeah. There's several. We have so many good bills coming to our floor. I'd like to point out there's also another House Bill, 1741. One of our reps, Don Kiefer, who is another medical freedom advocate, put this out there because, as you know, across the country, people were being denied access to ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other things. And it is not uncommon for doctors to be able to prescribe off-label. Only in this circumstance do we see that it's an issue. And so she's introduced this bill to basically, you know, create that patient-doctor relationship again and allow the doctors to be free to prescribe and treat without being turned into the licensing boards and stuff like that, to not allow the governments, the affiliated agencies and hospitals to come in and say, oh, sorry, you can't do that. Because we have lost people in the hospitals when people are trying to deny treatments or gain access to treatments. And so I think this is a really important one as we're watching, you know, China go on lockdown again and everything else. Doctors need to be able to make patient-doctor decisions without the interference of anyone else, whether it's insurance companies or government or whatever it might be. So I think that's a hugely important bill. And it's really never been questioned before now, which is interesting. The other bill I'd like to really highlight is a Senate Bill 471 that Senator Doug Mastriano has done, and basically guaranteeing residents the ability to say no to the COVID vaccine without employer repercussions. And so this is specific to the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, so we have several good ones coming through that just, you know, need to get put out to the floor, voted on, and moved along in their respective areas.
That's wonderful. Sounds like there's some really good stuff going on in the Commonwealth. Before we go, Dr. Coxon, can you just tell us where my listeners can find out more information and where they can support the work that you're doing and any other ways that they can help?
Yeah. So the best way to really kind of see what we're doing and track what we're doing is going to our website at informedconsentpa.org. But if you have specific questions, if you want to get involved, please email us, reach out. Which is informedconsent2015@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from people who are supporting our work.
That is wonderful. You know, again, so often we're bringing bad news about what's going on. We're pointing out when, you know, people are trying to take our rights. Here we have a group of people that are working hard to protect the rights of their neighbors, their fellow citizens. And I think it's an example we should follow. I think it's an example it's something we should be looking towards. And I congratulate, you know, you, Dr. Coxon, and all the people who are working at PCIC to recognize that, you know, our bodies are our property. James Madison wrote an excellent essay on the concept of property. What is property? And yes, you have a property in who you are. You have a property in your body and using it the way you want. If we give up that, if you give up the ability to control your body, the only thing left is control of your mind. And they're already working on that as well. They have been for years. So again, Dr. Coxon, thank you so much for your time. I truly enjoyed the ability to find out what's going on in the wonderful Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I hope to get up there sometime in the near future and see what's going on in person.
Thank you so much for having me. And please come on up. Let me show you everything that's going on.
I hope so. I have one of the members of my, actually, no, take that back. Two of the members of my online study class live in Pennsylvania. And I'm trying to work out with them to come up and do a tour stop up there, talk about the blessings of liberty in the wonderful Commonwealth. Hey, let's face it, the Liberty Bell is there in Philadelphia. It'd be a nice place to do an event. We'll see what we can make happen.
Absolutely. That would be incredible.
Excellent. So I have to head out for another break, ladies and gentlemen. But before I do, I want to remind you, you can hear the Constitution Study live, 4 p.m. Eastern time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our world-class media player or our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. Also, all of these programs go to podcasts, generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find out more. You can listen to them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or iHeart Podcast. Basically, anywhere you listen to a podcast. But if you do me a favor, give me a like, give me a thumbs up, give me a subscribe, rate the show, especially on Apple Podcast. It helps other people find out about the Constitution Study and about our wonderful guests and the information that we bring forward so that we can help share these blessings with our friends, our families, and our neighbors.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. I hope you enjoyed the last two segments when we were talking with Dr. Coxon. It's important to learn, to find these opportunities that we have states and people that are standing up, that are pushing for the protection of our rights and liberties, and that we learn about them. And we support them if we can, whether it's, again, if you live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, maybe talking to a state senator or state representative and promoting them, pushing this legislation. If you don't live in the Commonwealth, maybe taking a page from their book, find that piece of legislation and talk to your own state rep, your state senator, about the possibility of, hey, do we want to build in some similar protections into our state for the right to refuse treatment, any kind of treatment? Take, for example, the situation of Dr. Stephen Scholey. Now, when the vaccine mandates for healthcare workers came down in October of 2021, well, Scholey had the chutzpah to actually consult his personal physician and to actually study the medical literature. He was a survivor of Bell's palsy, a facial paralysis. And the medical advice consistent with the medical literature was, don't take the risk. The risk of the vaccination is not worth it. You see, apparently Bell's palsy, the virus, stays in the body, and a vaccination may cause it to reoccur. Now, At the time, he lived in Rhode Island and practiced in Rhode Island. And the Rhode Island mandate, which, by the way, was unconstitutional, but we'll set that aside for a moment. The mandate for healthcare workers allowed an exemption for certain medical conditions, although Bell's palsy wasn't one of them. Now, to protect patients from infection, Rhode Island permitted unvaccinated exempt workers from working with patients as long as they wore N95 masks. Well, for Scully, this is a no-brainer. See, he wore an N95 mask. He's a dental surgeon. He was always masked with N95. He wore surgical shield, gloves, gown. Does everything he can to protect the safety of his patients. Furthermore, Dr. Scully had natural immunity. You see, he had contracted COVID-19, most probably while he was serving in a state a hospital, but he contracted it. So he had natural immunity. Certainly, with all of these factors, with the willingness to allow unvaccinated doctors to still meet with patients if they wore N95 masks, which he was already doing. Certainly with the fact that he was already immune from the disease and less likely to transmit it, that would be more than enough with safety precautions for him to practice without vaccination. Yeah, well, the state isn't rational. You see, the problem with government is it only deals on a one-size-fits-all. There's little opportunity to use reason and logic to make a decision for yourself. So since the state of Rhode Island would not let him practice, he had to lay off workers, people with parents, with children and mortgages. And since Mr. Scully couldn't work in the state's prison system, they found a workaround. They spent thousands of dollars flying in a surgeon from out of state because they wouldn't let this dental surgeon work. So he sued. And 3 days before the hearing, the state finally changed its mind and said, vaccinated or N95 masks, we're going to treat you both exactly the same. So on March 11th, 2022, the state finally permitted Dr. Scully to put his open for business sign back up. After damaging his life, the life of his employees, the state spending thousands of dollars to temporarily replace him because they claimed the authority to force him to take a vaccine, even against medical advice. See, that's the problem you run into with these state mandates. Yes, they are unconstitutional. They deprive you of both your liberty and your property without due process of law. They are blanket band-aids that rarely fix the problem and often cause many, many, many more. Now imagine the Dr. Scully practice in some future Pennsylvania where he had the right to refuse treatment, that he could not be forced to take a prophylactic injection, a prophylactic treatment by coercion. It would have made a difference. And I wonder how many medical professionals had to choose between becoming a medical experiment or feeding their family. See, that's the problem. That's the basic disconnect. It is, especially when you're dealing with public health, and especially when you deal with it at the federal level. It's the government telling the people how to live. Take, for example, the recent opinion for the CDC mask mandate. You see, a court found that the mask mandate, that the CDC was not given the statutory authority to issue the mask mandate. They had not followed proper procedures in writing up the regulation for the mask mandate. So eventually the court said, nope, yes, you cannot require masks on travel. This is specifically dealing with public transportation, a power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Months and years of people wearing masks that, based on an illegal action, for a prophylactic treatment Wear the mask. So now, even after the court said, listen, you don't have the legal authority to issue a mandate, the CDC still says, well, we advise travelers to wear a mask. Now, listen, advice is one thing. If the government advises and the people decide, that's freedom. When the government mandates, that's tyranny. Now, we talk a lot about these terms here on the Constitution Study, and we show a lot of examples, not just dealing with health issues, but it's the basic idea of the control over your own body. Who owns you? Who owns your body? Who gets to determine what goes into your body? What products will be worn on your body? How you'll treat yourself. Let's take this to another example. See, the interesting thing about the Pennsylvania legislation, as I understand it, is you can't be forced to take a treatment against your will. But can you be denied a treatment? See, that's the other side of this story. Let's say you have a condition and there's a treatment that maybe the FDA or doesn't think, well, we don't think it will work for that. But shouldn't you be allowed to try? The other piece of legislation that Pennsylvania was talking about is your right. Basically, they call it the right to try. The right to say, okay, government, you're telling me the risks. I don't care. The risks outweigh the rewards. I'm in the hospital. I've got severe COVID. I'm really doing badly. I want to try ivermectin. I want to try hydroxychloroquine. I don't want to be forced onto remdesivir. These basic concepts of bodily autonomy, of owning your own body, should be no-brainers in a free country. Kind of goes to show that we're not nearly as free as we think we are. But the good news is we don't have to stay that way. I like what the legislators in Pennsylvania are doing. I like what the PCIC is doing, the Pennsylvania Coalition for Informed Consent. And there are other groups. But let's take this as an example. In fact, better yet, let's take this as a challenge. Let's say that this legislation in Pennsylvania is a challenge. We now see a way to help restore the right to control your own body without waiting for Washington to figure it out. Let's do it in the states. Let's do it in our state legislatures. Let's expect those we hire to represent us in the states to stand up to the tyranny in Washington and saying, no, not here. See, I don't know. Maybe it's happening in other states, but right now, as far as I know, Pennsylvania is standing alone. Pennsylvania standing alone, trying to put this together. And I think that's bad. I think they should not be alone. So I want to take this legislation. I'm going to have to find it. And I want to take some of the language. And I'm going to send it to my state representative and my state senator and see if we can get something going on here in Tennessee. And wherever you're from, maybe do the same thing. Find this legislation, get the language for it. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes. But let's talk to our legislators. Remind them that they work for us. Remind them that the Declaration of Independence says we create governments to protect our rights. Let's go ahead and start doing it. See, if you're going to wait for Washington to do it, well, you're going to be waiting an awful long time. And it's not a power delegated to the United States. It is a power reserved to the states. Well, that is unless your state constitution says the state can't deal with public health. But let's do this. Let's stop acting like sheep. Let's stop acting like subjects and serfs of Washington. Let's not look at this as something, unique. This should not be unique. States standing up and protecting their citizens. No, that should be the norm. And until we expect that from our state legislators, we're going to be behind the curve. Now, as I mentioned before, earlier today was in a meeting with my county mayor. I tell you, meet your county executives, your county mayor, your county sheriff. Get to know them. They should recognize you. Maybe they, not directly, but they should be aware enough of you to say, oh, okay, this is this person, and you should be kind of aware of how they think, how they apply themselves to the job. What are their priorities? How do they plan to fulfill their oath to support the Constitution of your state and of the United States? And it's more than just protecting your rights, protecting yourself in your county. You see, many of the legislators in your state start out in the county. Maybe many of the executives, maybe your governor, maybe your attorney general start out with a county office. See, if we are hiring county officials that are constitutionally sound, we're more likely to get state officials that are constitutionally sound. Now, there's also another option, education. See, when I was talking to my county mayor, I listened to what he had to say. What were his policies? What were his priorities? How did he see things? But then I asked him, here I am. What can I do to help? I'm a constitutional scholar. What can I do to help? He said that the education was one of the key pillars of the county governments to provide education. What can I do to help? How about we do the same thing with your county governments? What can we do to help? To help educate the legislators, the executives, our children. Make the same offer at the state level. Hey, state legislators, what can I do to help educate you? I don't mean about supporting you in a campaign. I mean making sure that you have a good, solid foundation to support the Constitution, because that's the oath that you took. And if you don't know what the Constitution says, how do you know you're doing a good job? So, of course, if we want our elected employees to follow the Constitution, if we want them to know when they're doing a good job, we got to know when they're doing a good job too. That means we need to know the Constitution. As John Jay said, every member of the state, every one of us, you, me, our kids, we should be reading and studying the Constitution. We should be teaching the next generation to be free. Now, that's what I do here. That's what I'm. That's what I help with, is helping you read and study the Constitution. Now, you can find out more. Go to constitutionstudy.com/study. I do, every 2 weeks, a study. There's a group of us that meet on Zoom every other Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time. And we're reading the Constitution. We're discussing it. We're debating it. We're asking questions. We're diving into ideas. And before you think this is all just me talking to people, no, we get into actual discussions and debates. It's interesting because at first it was hard for me to get people to really get involved to ask questions. But once we kind of hit a groove, now it's common. It's like, wait a second, I don't understand that. What about this? How do we had a discussion the other day about the meaning of the word dispose. It had to do with the Enabling Act. So when states come in, we have a wonderful time. And it helps everybody understand the Constitution that much better. We're also, again, teaching the rising generation to be free. See, I'm working on this Blessings of Liberty tour. And sure, a lot of adults were there, but you know what? It'd be great to see a lot of young people there as well. Last year, I did the Knowing Your Rights tour, and I had a lot of younger people, young adults and teenagers that were just as interested, just as engaged, because it's their freedoms too. It's their rights too. They're going to inherit the land we leave them. We should be working hard to make sure that the land we do leave them is a good one. But that only happens if we put in the effort. You see, freedom is not free. Sure, millions of men and women have fought and bled and died for your freedom. All I'm asking you to do is do a little reading, a little studying, and then learn to apply what that information to your everyday life. Now, if you want to find out more, well, America Out Loud is a great place to start. I found the article from Dr. Coxon from America Out Loud. So please, make it your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. Find the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos that inform you and truly engage you, light up your life, and then share them. Don't just read them, share them. Share them with friends, share them with family, share them on social media. Help other people find out, A, they're not alone, and B, there's good information out there if you're willing to search for it. See, then you can join me and everyone else here at the Constitution Study and everyone else around the nation that's working hard to secure the blessings of liberty, not just for ourselves, but for our posterity.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.